So today's reading is from John, chapter 1, verses 19 to 34. So that's page 1063 in the Church Bibles. Now this was John's testimony when Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, "Are you Elijah?" He said, "No, I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He said, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of the one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave his testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him, and I myself do not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, James. Do leave that open and let's pray. Father, be with us now as we spend time in your word together. Speak with us, shape us, change us, and show us, above all, show us Jesus, we pray. Amen. Welcome back to John's Gospel. We were last here, last Christmas, we spent about 6 weeks in John's prologue, and so we're picking up now at the point at which Jesus, as it were, steps onto the scene. And that's where we are today. And do you know, from time to time, I will look at a passage from the Bible that I'm due to be preaching on. And I'll be praying, and it'll become very obvious that just a sentence within the passage kind of really sums up the whole thing. As I've prepared this time, I've realized not just a sentence, but a single word, I think, sums up really everything in this reading that we've just heard together. The word is in verse 29. "The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Can anyone guess what the word is? Look. Okay, that summed everything up. We could stop now. We're not going to stop now, but that's the word, look. Look. Just think about your week. What have you spent time looking at this week? Imagine a pie chart floating in front of your eyes somewhere with little segments given to the things that you've been looking at this week. What would it be? Computer screen, maybe? Phone? Instagram feed? Maybe the kind of countryside passing you on a commute or in the car? Maybe your family or your friends? I don't know. What do you spend your time looking at? Well, that's John the Baptist's message for us today. It's a really simple one. Look. look. Now, John the Baptist is a celebrity, basically. Right, so this is the days before mass media or any other kind of communication ability. So it's all word of mouth, but word of mouth has totally done its job. And people have said, oh, have you heard about this guy, John? It's just something really exciting happening. And friends tell friends who tell friends. And before you know it, there's this mass movement of people going from Jerusalem and the whole kind of area of Judah to this place in the desert where John is baptizing people. So they come to him. They confess their sins, they go under the water, they come up, and that's what John's doing, and everyone's talking about it. To the extent that the religious authorities who are based up in Jerusalem say, look, we really ought to go and check this guy out. Their motives seem to be control, basically. You know, to make sure that this guy's saying the right things, on the right team, you know, saying the things that we approve of. And so that's what happens. They come down, verse 19, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem, they send priests and Levites to ask John who he was. And John's message of look, first part of that is a really simple one. He says, look at him, not at me. That's basically what he says. Look at him, Jesus, not at me. So isn't it striking, the first three words of his answer to them in verse 20? I am not. It's a strange place to start, isn't it? When someone says, who are you? The first thing you say is, I am not. And he carries on. It's like 20 questions, isn't it? Are you Elijah? Nope. Are you the prophet? Nope. Okay, who are you? Give us an answer so that we can tell those who sent us. And then when you finally get something out of John, he says, I'm just a voice. You see, verse 23, in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. I'm nothing but a voice pointing the way to someone who is so much more important than me. He quotes from Isaiah, it's part of the Old Testament, Isaiah 40, written for a people who were shortly to be in exile, disconnected from everything. And these words of hope spoken to Isaiah make straight the ways for the Lord. The Lord will come and redeem his people. And John says, the Lord is coming. It's happening. My job is just to point to him, which is why he says, look at him, not at me. Right, I'm just a voice. But they didn't get the memo. So verse 25, they keep asking him questions. Well, why do you baptize if you're not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? Can you see they really want to just get it nailed down? Are you doing the right thing or not? This is the kind of religious instinct. And John says, verse 26, look, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He does it again. He says, it's not about me. After me comes one, and I'm not even worthy to untie the straps of his sandals. Now, back in those days, of course, it was like dusty, it was muddy, feet were like properly disgusting, caked in like, you know, like rubbish in the streets, poo from the animals, and they were really nasty, to the extent that even slaves were not required to untie the sandals of their masters. That was deemed below the dignity of a slave. And yet John says, look, such is the greatness of the one I'm preparing the way for, that I'm not even worthy to do that for him. Okay, look at him, not at me. And that's been the message of Christian witnesses ever since. Right, John is like this great example of what it means to witness to Jesus. Look at him, not at me. That's our job. And we keep faithfully pointing to Jesus. But isn't it easy to just talk about ourselves? Isn't it easy to talk about me, my faith, my church, my experience? Particularly in these kind of experiential times that we live in. And there's nothing wrong with doing that as a bridge, but only as a bridge to get to the main topic, which has always to be Jesus, right? Because look at him, not at me. And some of us, do you know, when we've thought about serving Jesus and speaking about Jesus, we think, well, I couldn't possibly, I'm too shy, I'm too awkward, I'm too young, I'm too much of a beginner, I'm. It's not about us. It's not about you. It's about him. It doesn't matter if you feel too young or too inexperienced or too awkward, because your job is simply to point to Jesus. Look at him, not at me. It's like a chauffeur. I don't have a chauffeur, just in case you were wondering. I would like one. I actually am a chauffeur to my children, for more of my time increasingly than I would like to be. But do you know the job of a chauffeur, right? It's simply just to take the passenger to the destination. Now, John the Baptist is like a chauffeur taking a passenger to see the king, for an audience with the king. It's not really about the chauffeur at all. It's all about the journey to see the king. And that's so true for us as well. The only desire of the chauffeur is to take the passenger safely to the king. And if we're a follower of Jesus, that's a great question to ask. Is that what I'm doing for my friends, my family, who don't yet know Christ? Do I think of myself as a chauffeur whose job is to drive them safely to the king, who they really need to meet? Or like me, do you sometimes get a bit distracted, maybe stop off for a picnic that really takes quite a long time, and you forget that actually you're on this journey to see the king altogether? Look at him, not at me. That's the first part of John's message. But the second part is look at him, because he is the answer. Okay, look at him, because he is the answer. So in verse 29, Jesus finally walks into view. Have a look with me. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man comes after me, has surpassed me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Okay, look at him, because he is the answer. What's the first thing that John says about Jesus? The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But he wants us to be clear on who Jesus is and what he's come to do. Who is he? The Lamb of God. Of God. That's where he's come from. That's who he belongs to. That's why, by the way, in this passage, you may have noticed, repeated a few times, John says, "I didn't know him. You didn't know him. None of us knew him. But he has been," as he puts in verse 31, "revealed to Israel." He's come from God. We can't go looking for Jesus. He has come looking for us. Our job is now just to look at him. We have to look for him. He takes all the initiative to reveal himself to us, which is why John says, look at him. He's the answer. He's the Lamb of God. The only way we can know God is by looking at the Lamb, the Son, the eternal Word, who he has provided, who's come into the world so that we might know him. Okay, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God. Okay, it's language from the Old Testament. Do you remember the Passover and the people as slaves in Egypt? It's dreadful. Then there are the 10 plagues. And the last plague is that awful plague, the death of the firstborn son. But on that dreadful night, everyone who had the blood of a lamb painted across the doorpost was saved. And John says, this is the Lamb He's going to shed his blood so that we can be saved. When he dies on the cross, he will face the judgment that should have been ours so that we can go free. That's who he is. It couldn't be more significant that the very first thing that John chooses to say about Jesus are these words: the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is a great teacher. Oh my goodness, his teaching has shaped civilization. Jesus was an amazing miracle worker. Mind-blowing what he did, the goodness with which he controlled his universe for the good of us. And yet, the most significant thing about Jesus is this: the Lamb of God. He takes away the sin of the world. That's our deepest need. And that's the primary fundamental reason that Jesus came, to take away our sin. Look at him, says John, because he is the answer. Right, John's baptism, the dunking, it's just a picture. That's what he said. I just baptized with water, but look what Jesus has come to do. Verse 33, the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testified that this is God's chosen one. Okay, so we hear in one of the other Gospels that John is baptizing Jesus and the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove comes down and settles on Jesus. And John's saying, look, I can basically do nothing of significance in your life. I can wash you with water. Okay, you can repent of your sins. That's going to be helpful. But what you really need is someone who can change you, who can wash you. And that's what he's saying about Jesus. He says, when he comes with the Holy Spirit, it will be a kind of baptism, a kind of cleansing that is deeper, wider, and fuller than anything that John can do himself. Right? It's deeper because it's not just a symbol, but the reality. Jesus goes to the deep places in our heart, the profound areas of brokenness and sin and struggle and temptation. And the death of Jesus, as applied to our lives by the Holy Spirit, washes us totally clean. It's deeper and it's wider. The sins of the world. Right? So anyone who comes to Jesus and says, I want you to be my Savior too, is welcome. It's not just Israel. That's who John was operating among. But the whole world now, this wider cleansing that Jesus brings, is deeper, it's wider, and it's fuller. It's not just the removing of sin, but the reuniting of us in relationship with God through the Holy Spirit poured into our lives so that we know his love, so that we can be changed by his presence in our lives. All of this only Jesus can do. That's why John says, look at him. He is the answer. And friends, we just need to remind ourselves, he is not just an answer. Okay, we live in such a consumerist age, don't we? We get used to kind of pick and choosing whatever kind of suits us. This is the age of curated Spotify playlists where they kind of churn out whatever songs they think you will like, or curated adverts where you always just see the adverts for the things that Amazon thinks you need in your life. And we pick and choose and we put together our own version of what we feel like we need in life. And it's so easy to do that with our faith, with our spirituality, to have a kind of bespoke consumerist spirituality. Oh, I'll have that bit of Jesus, that might be helpful, but I'll have that bit of something else and that bit of something else, and I'll put it together in a way that just suits me. And John says, you have not even begun to understand how significant Jesus is. He is the Lamb of God. He's not just an answer. He is the answer to our deepest need. Without him, we're stuck in every way. With him, we have everything deeper, wider, fuller, cleansing, eternal hope. Look at him, because he is the answer. Look at him, not at me. Look at him, because he is the answer. So friend, guess what the application of this passage is? Look. That's it. Look at him. But really look. Look closer. Confession time. There I am, sitting at the kitchen table, one of the children found in. And maybe it's Emily, maybe it's JJ, maybe it's Esther, maybe it's Barney. It could be really be any of them. And but let's imagine it's one of the girls. They bound in and they say, "Daddy, look at my dress." And I say, "Oh, it looks fantastic." And then they say, "Daddy, you're not looking." Have you ever done that? "Oh, it looks fantastic." "Daddy, you're not looking." We think we're looking, we're not really looking. We just say the right thing. It's so easy to do that with Jesus. "Look," says John. "Oh yeah, Jesus, he's fantastic." You're not looking. Are you really looking at Jesus? Or are you depending upon a sight of Jesus you had 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago? How much time have you spent looking? Giving your attention deeply to Jesus. Do you know, if you could just spend 10, 15 minutes each morning giving your focused attention to look, really looking, don't you think that would make such a difference? Start of a new school year, it might be just the time for you to commit to do that again. There's actually a little table I've put together at the back with some resources that might help with that. So why don't you have a look at that after the service? It would be a help. Sometimes, you know, we are actually, if we're honest, just too proud to really look at Jesus. As in, we think, "I already know. I already know all about Jesus. I don't really need to spend time looking at him." So let's be humble. "Yeah, you know, I've got a lot to learn. So I'm going to spend time looking at the Lamb of God, just as I've been encouraged here by John." Sometimes I think the problem can be that we are too close. Let me explain what I mean. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, right, they are immersed in God's word, the Old Testament. And yet what we're going to see throughout John is that they are so close to it all, yet they manage to miss the thing staring them in the eyes. So later in John 5, Jesus says, "Look, you diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you have life, but you fail to come to me." Right? In other words, they're so close, they're so familiar that they manage to miss the thing staring them in the eyes. One of C.S. Lewis's books makes this point really powerfully, The Silver Chair. And Jill and Eustace, if you remember this book, they're off on a quest. They have to follow the signs that Aslan gives them. And one of the signs is, they will find a ruined city. And when they find the ruined city, there's going to be some writing that they must look for and do what the writing says. Okay, and they arrive in the ruined city and it's kind of misty and they're tired and they're not really concentrating. They're stumbling around and they get into these kind of trenches with like high walls around and they're wandering around. They're totally lost. And it nearly all comes to a ruinous end until they end up in one of the turrets of the castle and the mist clears. And there they see, written on the pavement that they were kind of wandering around it, in big words, "Under me." That's the clue, and they had to find the entrance of the underworld under the pavement. But the point is, it's so easy to be so close to something that you actually miss it altogether. And that could be you today. You're so familiar with church and with Christianity as an idea that you have actually stopped looking at Jesus. And maybe the encouragement for you today is to take a step back, as it were, and look again. Look closer. That's the message. Look at him, not at me. Look at him, because he is the answer. Well, I'm excited this term to be working through John's Gospel together. It's what we're going to be doing, looking together at Jesus. Why don't we pray now as we close? Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so, Father, help us to really look afresh, to focus our attention upon Jesus. We know that he is our deepest need, and we need to know him better and better. So be with us this term. Be with us as individuals. Help us to take the time we need to keep looking. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.